Chapter 7. A Conversation with Terra. During their voyage across the Sol system, Courland found his few moments of peace in the practice cages. With Issachar, he sparred constantly, both of them guests of Beaumont. The physical exertion of combat pushed aside his grief and his anger. When not fighting, the lords of the chapters conferred and feasted, making their plans against the orcs. The last wall made all speed through the Sol system, sailing past mighty Jupiter and its glowering storm spots, on towards the asteroid belt, and past it to the inner planets. From fleeing mercantile craft, they first received detailed news of the situation at Terra and of the disastrous proletarian crusade. The Sol system was ordinarily alive with shipping travelling from the Mandeville Point to Terra. The last wall saw few vessels. Those ships that had come to the cradle of mankind had aborted their journeys and lurked unsurely around the outer planets. The captains of the ships and the lords of minor colonies around the gas giants relayed further details. The moon had arrived at Terra, unopposed, they said, crushing the throne world's orbital defences without trouble. The navy was mostly absent. When the crusade had been called, the minor imperial navy presence held back, while millions of imperial citizens were slaughtered. Worse still, the ships of Mars remained in port, the Red World's armies mustered but inactive. Astropathic messages to both Terra and Mars went unanswered. Courland's outrage grew. During the hours of swift travel from the Mandeville Point to the inner system, he remained in the cages. His sword clashed off Issachar's twin axes. He fought instinctively, mind elsewhere. Several questions troubled him, and the answer to them all was more troubling still. The High Lords, the High Lords, the High Lords. He grunted hard and swung at Issachar. The excoriator dodged. My lords! Courland drove another hard attack at Issachar, all his anger and frustration behind it. My lords! Issachar caught Courland's blow upon crossed axes. A messenger, said Issachar, nodding past their locked weapons. He and Courland were stripped to the waist. Issachar's torso was as scarified as his face, his flesh a coded manual to the rituals of his chapter. Courland stepped back, sweat poured off them both. A Black Templar's bondsman stood by the doors, framed by the cage bars. The High Lords have made contact, my lords, said the bondsman. He wore the weapons of a warrior and had the physique to match. His attitude to Courland was deferential without civility. There was pride in the hearts of the Black Templar's men. They did not creep about as the servants of some chapters did. No news from Mars, said Courland. He wiped down his face and naked torso with a towel handed to him by an arming servitor and stepped out from the practice cage. Alas, we have heard nothing from them, my lord. Continue our attempts to raise them. Have your astropaths and vox officers make the implication the last wall may alter course to put into orbit around the Forge World and investigate their silence. That will focus the tech priest's attention, said Courland. Have my armor prepared. I will speak with the High Lords garbed for war. Shall I inform my liege, Beaumont? I shall speak to this representative alone, said Courland. My lord, said the bondsman, and departed. If the High Lords contact us, we can rest easy that there is at least authority still upon Terra, said Issachar. Yes, but whose? Said Courland. And if the old authority, how effective can it be? The High Lords have proved nothing but their own incompetence. You are learning, Chapter Master Courland.
While in the arming chamber Bowman had provided him, Courland was informed that the representative of the High Lords was now present via lithocast. Courland did not hurry. Arming servitors and bondsmen clad him in his armour, polished now but still bearing the marks of the conflict on Adamantua. While the men worked silent around him, bolting him into his battle plate, he thought on what he must say to the lords of all the Imperium. Politics. How he loathed them. All the worse as he lacked the detail to make an adequate tactical plan. Idle fantasies of usurping them and replacing their corrupt rule with that of the Space Marines played through his mind. that space marines were no less fallible than mortal men, and far more dangerous for the belief many of them had in their own rectitude. The galaxy had suffered enough already because of transhuman arrogance. He chastised himself inwardly. Issachar's sentiments were infectious. He could not succumb to them. The last clasp of his armor fastened with a snap. The bondsmen oiled Corlin's hair, set a cloak of rich red velvet about his shoulders, and he departed for the Chamber of Audience, high up on the Abhorrence's superstructure. As befitted its purpose as a tool of diplomacy, the chamber was cavernous, possessing enough hollow projectors to accommodate the remote meetings of many hundreds of men. Only one awaited him, the slight phantom of an unremarkable man in the room's center, his full-size lithocast eerily lifelike. "My lord, my apologies for keeping you," said Corland. The room swallowed his voice whole. His footsteps echoed sharply from the ornate walls. The representative of the High Lords waved away the apology. He was plainly dressed, small.
"These are trying times. I have not been waiting long. Rather, it is my own eagerness to speak with you that brings me to the lithocast chamber ahead of you, Second Captain Corland."
"I am chapter master now," said Corland.
"Ah," said the man.
His face expressed his concern, the long scar cutting across it, wrinkling oddly.
"Your losses were grave, we understand. Tell me, were there other survivors?"
"They are dead," said Corland icily. "You do not understand, I think. They are all dead, every one of my brothers. I am the last of the Imperial Fists. When I fall, the chapter shall be no more."
"All of them are dead?"
said the man softly.
"All."
The man nodded.
"I feared as much. On hearing of your survival, some of my colleagues were more hopeful that others might have been retrieved, but..."
His demeanor changed.
"We are forgetting ourselves, Chapter Master. I have yet to introduce myself. I am Draken Vangorich, head of the Officio Assassinorum, and one of the High Lords of Terror, though sadly not one of the 12.
"You? You are the Lord of Assassins?" said Corland.
"You cannot hide your incredulity. That is understandable."
The man's slight pleasure offended Corland.
"You have yet to grasp the diplomatic niceties of your new role. I do not look like a master of murderers, and intentionally so. If I looked like death himself, I would be performing my job poorly, would I not?"
"Why have you been chosen to speak with me?"
Corlin's mind raced. Battle. He must see this as battle. There were tactical considerations in the choice of his words. Corlin chose to be blunt.
"Is this a warning?"
"Yes. Yes, I suppose there is a warning in what I'm saying to you, Chapter Master," said Vangorich amiably, "but not the kind you are thinking of. Doubtless you believe my communication is meant to convey the power of the High Lords. At my command are killers who would tax and quite probably kill even you, should I command it. And it is true, the arrival of your fleet has caused as much consternation as it has celebration. But my warning is not of that sort. I ask that you pay attention to what I said regarding my appearance. Things are so very rarely as they seem."
"You are speaking obtusely."
"I really am not," said Vangorich.
"Then tell me plainly, what is the High Lord's message?"
"There's the crux of it. I am reasonably confident the High Lord's message would be that you stay far away from Terra. They'd say this because you will provoke the Orcs, who for the 4 days since their ambassador was sent to us have done nothing. In fairness, the High Lords may genuinely fear provocation. What they really fear, however, is the threat to their power your several thousand, is it, space marines pose. Even at this late hour, they scheme still, and you are forcing them to act in concert. Nothing is more apt to form a concord among them than a challenge to their power from within the Imperium. A shame they do not categorize this Orc invasion similarly. Terror is at the forefront of their minds, but behind it, self-interest, ambition, and envy still slide over one another, poisonous as serpents."
"I do not understand," said Corland. I requested politely that you speak plainly. Do not make me demand.
Thangorich pointed at Corlan somewhat impishly. A little steel I see there, Chapter Master. Good. We are sorely in need of a man with steel. You must also learn a certain flexibility of mind. You see, I am not speaking to you on behalf of the High Lords at all. I am currently at the Inquisitorial Headquarters. I am afraid I am very much on a frolic of my own.
I was expecting instruction, plans, disposition of the enemy.
Very commendable. Instruction I can manage. I have with me one of my colleagues, Veritas, the Inquisitorial representative to the Senatorum Imperialis, and one of the High 12. He and I, unfortunately, do not constitute a quorum, but Veritas has something our fellows in the Senatorum lack. He speaks with the voice of the Emperor.
The hololith blinked. A second figure appeared on the focusing platform alongside the one projecting Thangorich. An indefinably ancient man, encased in a suit of golden power armor.
I am Veritas, the Inquisitorial representative, and one of the High 12. Said the newcomer. Will you heed my command, Chapter Master Corland? Will you obey the word of the Emperor himself?
Corland's relief at having made contact with some authority was undermined by the uneasy feeling a trap was opening before him. The chapters were autonomous, but even they could not deny a direct order from a High Lord. He must tread carefully.
State your orders, Inquisitor.
By the power vested in me, said Veritas, the High Lords command that you bring your fleet immediately to Terra and smash the attack moon out of the sky.
And why do you think we have come here, Inquisitor? Has the Imperium become so divided that the sight of a fleet of space marines in response to a direct threat within the holy system of Sol inspires fear and not relief? Our intention is to destroy the Orcs, said Corland. It is our only purpose.
Then our aims accord, said Veritas guardedly. Well, that was very dramatic, said Thangorich, but there is some business to attend to. You will require help, Lord Chaptermaster. You must go to Mars and winkle Fabricator General Kubik out of his hiding place. Set his feet on the path to war. The man sits in his palace, surrounded by one of the mightiest armies in the galaxy, and he does nothing. We will advise you in what you must say to him.
Thangorich glanced at Veritas. But first, it is time to tell you exactly what has transpired since the tragedy at Adamantua. Steady yourself. You will not be pleased by what I have to say.